Okay, we left off on Daf Lamed Aleph Medes with Rav Yehuda Shita, and the Gemara pointed out that according to Rav Yehuda, we appear to have a lack of a need of Hadar even in the Esrog, and the Gemara asks Kashis on it, firstly from the color of the Esrog, that Yoro Kikarsi, even the Rav Meir is Machshir, Rav Yehuda is Posel, Lav Mishum Deboi Hadar. Gemara concludes, no, lo mishum de lo gamar peira. So simply technically, the issue of what is yaro kakarsi, Rashi over here doesn't say anything because it's a Mishnah a little later on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and over there Rashi says that karsi are the last line of Rashi Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, krishim puri, that they're soup greens. I mean, we're dealing with a dark green. Tosus over here begins in that manner, and then he points out that we have a sugi in brachos mishiyakir ben tchelos lekarsi, and we assume that tchelos means blue, and so karti kanir'eh is something similar to blue. And then he quotes the Yerushalmi that learns that we're dealing with green, that even in the world of Tcheles, it's a blue-green, an aqua color. And then from the world of Trefos, Tosus points out that perhaps Yorok refers to a certain golden yellow color, which would certainly clash with the world of Esrog. And Tosus just sort of, you know, it leaves all of these on the table at the end of the Tosfos. I think that the most important source over here is what I put on the Daf Mekoros that's floating around. That in that sugya in Chulin, which deals with the world of Trefos, Sarashi points out that Yeroka loka asavim ele kamara kishusa homli and okamara morika karkom okamara beitza kol elu min yarokain ele shezem mishuna mizev kol mara krug nikri yarok. That we have a spectrum of green, like if your Crayola sets, that would go from a dark, dark green that would be very similar to blue, to a yellow green that would be very similar to a gold, and all of that spectrum, depending upon the context, the Gemara could speak about as being yarok, and so the yarok is simply a phrase that lends itself to a whole spectrum of colors. But what is of halachic importance over here, assuming that in our sugya, like Rashi and like the Yerushalmi and the way Tosis begins, we're talking about a dark green, a yarok kakarsi, what is important is the last line of Tosfos, v'osam esrogim haboim lefanenu yirukim kakarsi, Ksheirim afilu l'Rav Yehuda kishachosim l'mar ashar ha'esrogim afilu betolush achar sheshahu b'kliz man meruba devadai gomar piryam. That we can judge things according to their future. That if in the future this esrog, even a month after Sukkot, is going to turn yellow, then l'mafreya we're going to say that you were l'chatchila, you were able to be yotze with this esrog based on the fact that the Mafreya, we will see that it is Gemar Peira. And this is paskind like in the Shulchan Aruch, almost word for word like Tosfos, that Yoro Kadom Le Isvei Hasadeh Pasul, Ela Imkein Chozel Lemara Esrog Kishemashin Oso, without any limitation as to how long one has to wait or how one watches it. And as the Mishnah Berurah points out, afilu lizman meruba, even in a kli, and you're allowed to use it currently based on the future. However, mikom makom hiskimu ha'achronim, beginning with the Mahariel, making its way through the Magen Avram and the Taz, de'en lismach al zel ma'aseh, v'en lichtum sesrogim, mekein hischil ben mikzas lashuv. Namely, that there has to be some indication that this is going to happen, even though we're being somech on the mafreya, but rather than simply play Russian roulette, that one requires some indication. And all of this, as is pointed out in the Shar HaTzion, all of this is as opposed to the Bach. Just before we get to the Bach, just the two he'aros that are brought in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah, one of them in the name of Rav Yoshiv, and one in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So in the name of Rav Yoshiv, that he was medayek, that since Tosfos and the Mishneh Berurah both mention the kli, in other words, that you can use a method that would hasten the process, assuming that putting it in a kli would hasten the process of the color change. Hu hadin, nowadays, apples are considered to be, they give off certain chemicals, I assume, that impact on the color of the esrog, and so one would be able to put it in a close kli with apples in order to hasten the process of the turning green. And that's on one hand. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman very much felt that one should not be somech on Tosfos l'chatchila and use a green esrog based on the future, but l'chatchila one should search for a yellow esrog. But let's move over to the Chumrah of the Bach. I just added one Marim Makom on the other side of the page before we get to the Mishkanos Yaakov, and that is simply to put things in perspective, that there's a... I see it was cut off on the top of the page. But there's a Sefer Moedim Uzmanim of Rav Sternbach, who's a Ninvenechad of the Gra, who's put out some 8 volumes of Moedim Uzmanim. So in Chelek Vav, it's in the Beis Medrash, in Simon Samach Aleph, he deals with the green Esrogim. And the second paragraph, the one beginning with the word Makor Hadavar, that the Machlokes, if one wants to line up poskim, so you have the Magen Avraham, the Taz, and the Gra, all of whom paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, namely like Tosos, and of course the Mishneh Berurah. And on the other side of the issue, you have the Bach, you have the Mabit, you have the Beis Meir, and of course the Mishkanos Yaakov that we saw. What's interesting is that he adds in V'chein Nohag Hagon Reb Chaim Ibris V'acharav Beno Hagriz. In other words, the Briskarav, the Revilful. Lahachmir, that it should be kulo tzahov and not yarok, not to be somech at all on the psak of Tosfos. And in the paragraph in the left hand column, beginning with Rabbeinu Hagra, points out that there is the tshuva that we saw, that I photostated for you from the Mishkanos Yaakov, is found word for word in the Chut HaMeshulash, the tshuvas of Reb Chaim Volozhin. And it's unclear who wrote the tshuva to whom. Did Reb Chaim Volozhin write it to the Mishkanos Yaakov, or did the Mishkanos Yaakov write it to Reb Chaim Volozhin? So Rav Sternbach properly points out that even though the grandson of Reb Chaim, I assume he means the son of the Briska Rav, said that it was his grandfather's tshuva, a tshuva of Reb Chaim Volozhin, the signon, the syntax is much more close to that of the Mishkanos Yaakov, and so Kenever, the Mishkanos Yaakov, sent the tshuva to Reb Chaim Volozhin, and then whoever gathered Reb Chaim Volozhin's writings somehow accidentally put it into the tshuvas that were authored by Reb Chaim Volozhin. But at the end he points out that it's very, very strange that if the Gra clearly paskins like Tosfos, it's strange that Reb Chaim and the world of Brisk didn't follow in the Derech HaGra, which usually they tended to follow. Okay, but all of that is in terms of personalities. But what was the Bach basically saying? So over here, the Mishkanos Yaakov brings in the Bach, and then he has Lafinius Daiti, then he adds questions of his own on the Shita of Tosfos. In terms of the Bach himself, what's the Bach's argument? Why would we ignore Tosfos's psak, halacha l'maisa? After all, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos. The Beis Yosef, I mean, the Bach, of course, preceded the Shulchan Aruch, but he knew that the Beis Yosef paskins like Tosfos.
Why? What are the svaras of
that? What, you know, it's what's the svara of the Bach to say that we're going to ignore Tosfos? What?
So it's not Gemara free yet.
No,
that's what we're coming to, but the Iker Taina of the Bach.
No, Hiddick.
is that all the Gemara is speaking over here is Aliba de Rav Yehuda. Aliba de Rav Yehuda, there's no din of Hadar by an Esrog. But we paskin like Rabbana, that there is a din of Hadar. And the Gemara originally assumes, Kanereh Rav Yehuda, who holds that green is possible, Kanereh he holds Lav Mishum Deboi Hadar. And the Gemara says, no, we can have another explanation. But if we do hold of a psul of Hadar, so Lachorah, the lack of Mara, is an issue of Hadar. And therefore, my nafgamina that we're going to get to a Gemara Pri Lemafreya, or not going to get to a Gemara Pri Lemafreya, Lishitasenu, we require Hadar, and this Esrog lacks Hadar. That's basically the Nakuda on which the Bach disagrees with Tosos. Not disagrees, Tosos is working Aliba de Rav Yehuda, but we don't paskim like Rav Yehuda. We have a psul of Hadar, which is a psul per se. However, the Mishkan Os Yaakov goes further than the Bach and points out that even if you want to say that when the Gemara is Chozer Bo and moves over to Gemara Pri, it's saying that there is no issue of Hadar, even if you want to say that, we still have issues. Mihu Lefinius Daiti Kasha Tuva. So over here he has three he'aros. In my humble opinion, the last of the he'aros is the most powerful, and that's the one that we have to deal with. That's the one that Reb Chaim raises, Reb Chaim, or I don't know, maybe the Rav, whoever Rav Reichman is quoting in the shiurim, Rishima Sashiurim. First he asks, Lepinus Daiti Kasha, that what turns out is that we're all in this waiting mode to see what's going to happen to the green esrog. Namely, there are those that are going to change color, and there are those that are going to remain green. So why does Rav Yehuda say puzzle? He should say suffix puzzle. Namely, that puzzle seems to imply that we have an issue per se. But if everything is going to be standing up in the air and waiting, in other words, that it's not an issue of eno gamar pri, but it's shema lo gamar piryo, then it's very, very strange, the language of Rav Yehuda, because we're talking about a Mishnah. And the Mishnah, all the other dinim of pasul in the Mishnah are vaday pasul. We deal with Esrog HaKushi, Esrog HaLavan, etc. A, B, va'od. In other words, that if really we live in a world in which most green Esrogim tend to become yellow, so why in the world should Rav Yehuda pasul based on the suffix? In other words, we have a rove. We normally go after rove. So we should say it's kosher. Based on the rove mistama, it's going to change color. That's the way of the world. The things that begin green end up yellow. But, okay, those are two technical issues. But then we have a v'od kosher tuva. The hayesh kama perosh ein misbashlim le'ilon u'kishemashin mashin osan b'kli b'talush misbashlim. Namely, that putting something into a kli to bring about its ripening is not something which is unique to Esrog. It's a phenomena that things can ripen on a tree, or we can have a situation of things ripening off the tree. But the question is, Meinach Gemina, if it ripens off the tree, when you're using it, it's going to turn yellow a month after Sukkot. So then we'll say it ripened. But when you use it, it was still not ripe. Namely, if the issue is one of Gemar Pri, Meinach Gemina, what's going to happen afterwards? You could have said maybe that if it was a natural process, then it's sort of built in. But if we are imposing a man-made process of hastening the ripening, so then what good will it do that our man-made ripening will take place in Chodesh Kislev? When Tishrei came about, when Sukkot came about, this Esrog was not ripe. How could Tosfos be so certain that Sofo Lachzor Kish Yigmar, that we view it as a Gemar Pri retroactively? Ma Pitom, that it should be viewed as a Gemar Pri retroactively. Where does this come from in Tosfos? Oh, that's a very, very powerful question. Namely, that when we're dealing with an issue of Vaday and Safek, okay, if we're dealing with, you know, of Rov and Miyud, okay, maybe in the time of Tosfos, it wasn't a Rov, maybe it wasn't a Miyud, maybe there was more of a Vados, I'm not sure. But over here, we're talking about a conceptual issue. If the issue of Gemar Pri is one of you're not allowed to use an unripe fruit, my nafka mida that it's going to ripen a month afterwards. Sukkos, it was not ripe. So that's the question basically that was asked by the Rishim of Shiurim. But what is his answer? Okay, the question is a question. What direction does he suggest that we go to? That when we speak about Gemar Pri, what are we actually referring to? I'm sorry, I didn't notice that the Rishim of Shiurim. So as I recall, what he says was that the does someone want to recall what he says? You want to recall?
It's like a min kasher.
Okay, then it was that Gemar Pri has nothing to do with the world of ripening, but rather it has to do with the species of the esrog. That the fact that an esrog turns yellow is a siman that it's the proper species. The proper species of an esrog eventually is going to turn yellow. Irrelevant if it's going to turn yellow quickly or given out of time. Irrelevant if it's going to be with human intervention, without human intervention. The moment it turns yellow, it means that this was originally the min. The issue with this, of course, is there's no problem of saying that we have two species of esrogim, like you have apples. You have apples that, all apples begin green. Many apples turn red, but there are those apples that remain green. Those are two different species of apples. Right? They have different names. They have different. They grow on different trees. And so it could very well be that we have two species of esrogim, one that remains green and one that turns yellow. And all we have to be sure is that we have the esrog from the proper min. The question, of course, is, but how does that fit into the words of Gemar Pri? In other words, where do we see this concept that this is a Gemar Pri? But I think that we do have a very, very powerful raya for this shita in the continuity of the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara says that the reason that we need yellow as opposed to green is that we require Gemar Pri. On the surface, Gemar Pri would seem, if we were I didn't see a Schadenstein translation of the Gemara, but I assumed that they would translate Gemar Pri, that we need a totally ripened fruit. We need a fruit which is ripe, as opposed to an unripe fruit. We need Gemar Pri, that it has to. And so our question was, what good will it do if it becomes ripe a month after Sukkos? We need a ripe fruit before Sukkos. We have to be Yotzi the Mitzvah Arba Minim with a Gemar Pri, with a ripe fruit. So the Rav answered, no, it doesn't mean a ripe fruit. Gemar Pri means you need a species which is going to turn yellow. That the Gemar Pri, that the sign of the proper esrog is an esrog that turns from green to yellow. Whenever it turns to yellow, that's a sign that it was the right species. You have another species of esrog that remains green. And so over here, that's what Tosis is telling us, that once as long as we have the right species, as long as we have the simon, that we have the right species, that at some point it turns yellow, that's all that we need, not more than that. So to say that we need, that there are these two species, and we need the species that's going to turn yellow, that's fine. But why call that Gemar Pri? So if we look a little ahead in the Gemara then moves over to the issue of the size of the esrog, that there is a minimum size, and there is a maximum size, and the Gemara is asked, Nahavamina, the Chora, the minimum, maximum, doesn't that imply there's a din of Hadar? That Hadar means between X and Y, larger than Y or smaller than X is a lack of Hadar. Gemara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Hadar, but he has concepts of size, because if it's too small, then it's a lack of Gemar Pri. And if it's too large, then we're afraid you're going to drop it when you switch hands. Someone hands you the esrog in your right hand, and you need your right hand for the lulav, and you're going to begin switching the lulav and the esrog from hand to hand. If it's too large, we're afraid you're going to drop it. Okay, fine. Rav Yehuda has other issues. Rashi, Tosas over here, brings in a Gemara that is not quoted at all in our sugya, that he felt that according to Rashi, should be quoted in our sugya, and the fact that it's not quoted shows that Rashi is wrong. What am I referring to? Look on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, right after you have the little ches of the Ein Mishpat on the Hagon V'Halohu. Right after that, it says, Esrog Habosar, Rabbi Akiva Posel V'Chachamim Machshirim. The Esrog Habosar is found in the first time it's mentioned is a little farther up on the Amud. They quote such a brisa, and on that brisa, Rashi says Esrog Habosar means that we're dealing with a very small Esrog. Katan Kapul Halavan. That you have an Esrog, which is like a little bean. And Tosa says, that's not Esrog Habosar. The size of the Esrog, that's a different machlokas. That's a machlokas kebeitza, keegos. Nothing to do with pul halavan. Nothing to do with Esrog Habosar. Fine, okay. So what then is the issue really of Esrog Habosar? So Rashi himself, Pashas, agrees with Tosas, and Rashi says, if you look over there on Daf Lamed Vav, about the seventh line, Rabbi Akiva, Da Amar, Da Ad Gmar Bishuleha, Lo Havi Esrog Pri. Bosar, we know from the world of grapes, a Bosar is an unripe grape. And so when you have an unripe Esrog, when you have an Esrog Bosar, you have an Esrog which is just beginning its process of ripening on the tree, and then it's plucked off. So Rabbi Akiva says, Ad Gemar Bishuleha, until the Esrog ripens, Lo Havi Esrog Pri. The Torah speaks about Pri Eitz Hadar. It has to be a fruit. A fruit before it ripens, when it's still in the status of Bosar. By the world of grapes, the Bosar is a very sour grape, when it's still very sour. That's not yet considered to be a Pri. You don't make a Bori Pri Ha'etz on Bosar. If you want to eat such a grape, maximum, you'd make a shahakol. You wouldn't make a Bori Pri Ha'etz on Bosar. And so Huadin, you can't use it for Arba Minim because you need a Pri Eitz Hadar, Velo Gamar Bishulei. And the Chachamim disagree. In other words, as long as it's the right size, whatever the right size may be, my nafkamina, if it's a Bosar or not. But here, what do we see? That the world of ripening is spoken of in the Gemara as Bosar. And our Gemara, when it speaks about Gemar Peira, doesn't mention at all Bosar. In other words, it says Rav Yehuda requires Gemar Pri. Rav Yehuda requires Gemar Pri. It doesn't say Rav Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Akiva, who says that Bosar is no good. So what does that imply? What can one infer from the fact that when we want to speak about ripening, we use the phrase Gemar Bishulei. That's the din of ripening. Rabbi Akiva speaks about Gemar Bishulei. According to Chachamim, you don't require Gemar Bishulei. You don't require Bishel Kol Tzarko. What would that imply about the phrase Gemar Peira? That has nothing to do with ripening. That's exactly what the Rav was saying. Namely, that Gemar Pri is not a din of ripening. Gemar Pri is an indication that we have the right species. The Gemar would be, we'd say that the Gemar is not the conclusion of a process, but the Gemar would be the proof of the pudding. Namely, that we have Gemar, like the Gemara speaks about, that when you learn something out, Gomar, you learn something out, Gemar, we learn out from the fact that it's yellow, that it's the right pre. We learn out that it's the right species. In other words, rather than view Gemar as the end of the process of ripening, which Lechor is a separate sugya altogether, that's Gemar and Daf Lamed Vav. We're dealing over here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Tosas is the one who brings this in only as a kashi on Rashi, that we have a Rashi which speaks about Bosar as being Kapul HaLavan, and Tosas says that, no, it's nothing to do with size. Size is a separate machlokas, etc. But the Rashi and the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, points out that we have two different issues. The issue of ripening is the world of Bosar. That's Rabbi Akiva. The Gemar Pri, that's a world of Rav Yehuda and Rabbanon, and has nothing at all to do with the world of ripening. We just need an indication, the Gemar. We need a proof that this is the right this is the proper pre, not more than that. Yes?
So, I'm still then just confused how the Rav reads the Gemara then. So if Yarka Karsi is this thing that's the wrong min, essentially.
Right.
According to Rav Yehuda, right? So then, isn't that obvious that it's possible? And also then, why is Rabbi Meir being machshir? That sounds like Rabbi Meir is being machshir any other min. That seems very...
No, that we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda as to whether we're dealing over here with we have two Mari Esrogim, that we have a pre-Eitz Hadar, that they all have the same internal signs, that how the seeds are placed and how the fruit appears underneath the peel, and the question of the color is not relevant. It's not an important question. Masha'inkan, according to Rav Yehuda, this is part and parcel of the definition of the pre. We can have a machlokas tanoim as to whether we have one species of esrog or whether we have two species of esrog. I don't see that as the end of the world. Yeah.
I would see from Tosos the opposite of what we
said,
because it's mashma from Tosos that each specific esrog is only going to be called a pre once it reaches a certain threshold of size. It's not about having a specific species. It's about each esrog have a shein pre. It doesn't have a shein pre when it's too small. It doesn't matter about whether it's fully ripe or not. So that's a separate machlokas.
Yeah, we have three machlokas. We have one machlokas in terms of what is the minimum size of an esrog. Then an esrog has to be of a certain size, and that the Gemara also calls Gemar Pri. Right? In other words, we have an issue of the size of the esrog, we have an issue of the color of the esrog, and we have an issue of the ripening of the esrog. Those are three different issues. On each of them, we have a separate machlokas tanoim in terms of the color. So we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. In terms of the size, again, we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And in terms of the ripening, we have machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim.
So I'm saying in the second one, the size, where we say Gemar Peri, look Gemar Peri, it's not mashma, like what we're saying, that it has to be the species. It's mashma that each specific fruit, in order to be called a pre, meaning if it's bigger but it's boser, according to the Rabbanan, that would be a pre. But the Rabbanan would say if it's smaller than the threshold of a kaveza, it doesn't have a shame pre. Each specific fruit, it's not about what's going to happen at the end.
Does
it have a shame pre?
No, what Tosis is saying is that these issues of ripening and size have nothing one to do with the other. That according to Rabbanan, an unripe esrog of the proper size is considered to be a pre.
But less than the right size?
Less than the right size, one can say that again is like a pygmy esrog.
It's Logamar pre.
Logamar pre doesn't have
That's what our Gemara says here. That's why it would be the problem.
But what does Logamar pre mean?
It means it's not the right size.
But because it's not the right size, why is there a problem according to Rav Yehuda?
Maybe it's not fully grown. Maybe that's why.
No, that's not what it's saying. If it's not fully grown, that's an issue of boser. That's an issue of ripening.
If you have a boser one that's not the right size, what would be in that case?
So according to the Chachamim, if it's boser, that's not a chisaron. But not being the right size would still be a chisaron because it means it's not the right species.
But it's boser, though. It's going to be the right size in a week.
No. You can have boser. Bosar means that's
a middle of growing. I grow a sorghum. I know that in a month this is going to be the right size. So why is that possible? Based on the svar we said in the first month.
What we're saying is that there are three different issues. Bosar means that currently, were you to take this off of the tree and squeeze the fruit, it would be tremendously bitter, even more bitter than a classic esrog is. Nowadays, but that it simply has not yet ripened inwardly. The bosar doesn't relate to the peel. The bosar relates to the fruit. That the fruit has not yet ripened. The size. So the working assumption of the rough. Not saying that you have to learn this way, but there is a You know, the fact that the Gemara by us does not bring in Rabbi Akiva seems to imply that this, the issue of color and size are issues of species. That you're going to have, like, you're going to have trees that have these little oranges on them. Right? In other words, that's are they called pygmy oranges? I don't know what they're called. Chinese oranges. Right? In other words, that there are these little trees that you can put in your apartment, and they'll grow oranges. But those oranges are always going to be Chinese oranges. They're never going to be above a certain size. The connection between that and our oranges is the fact these are two different species.
So if you have a regular ester that's just not fully grown yet, that's not a boson?
So we're saying that if it's not fully grown, that it is not yet the right... Again, there are three different issues.
Right.
One is an issue of color, another is an issue of size, a third is an issue of ripening.
But I'm saying this ester is too small because it's boser. It's the right min, but it's boser.
So that's the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. Rabbi Akiva says the fact that it's boser is a poser.
Everyone would say in that case it's poser.
But not because of the boser, but because of the size.
So you see that the size, the size is has a nachmina for right now, not for what's going to be tomorrow. Meaning it's why is that a problem? Why is this food a problem? Because it's a logmark there. The problem of size is a logmark there. Even though it's going to be the right size in a month.
No,
poser, meaning it's going to grow. It's not fully grown yet. So that's mashma. The problem with my pair has to do with today, not like what we just said before.
I understand. You're asking why does Tosfos only? You know, it's if we have two dinim that are tall in gemar peira, the color and the size. Why does Tosfos say that the color we can wait, but the size we can't wait? The answer is that we're picking it off of the tree. When we pick it off of the tree, it's not going to continue growing. Now we're picking it off of the tree. So it's not going to continue growing, but the color can still change. So when it's not going to continue growing, so we always have an issue. Maybe this is a pygmy esrog. Maybe this esrog would never have continued to grow. We have no way of checking. By the color, we have a way of checking. Let it wait, and when it turns yellow, we see that it was the right min. But in terms of size, we have two types of esrogim, pygmy esrogim and regular esrogim. We have no way of knowing whether this would have grown or not.
You don't actually have to wait, though.
What?
You don't actually have to wait, that's the point.
But you could.
But waiting would give us an
indication. Also, leave it on the tree.
Hmm?
Yeah.
But waiting would give us an indication. Okay, look, I'm not thrilled with
it. It's nothing to do with the mid, has it?
In other words, I agree with you that looking at the Gemara on the surface, we have over here an issue of ripening. And then we have a powerful question of the Mishkanos Yaakov on the sheet of Tosfos. Who cares that it's going to ripen a week or two after Sukkos? That doesn't help us on Sukkos. And however, what the Rav said is that it's not an issue of ripening, it's the issue of the min. That the Sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis deals with the min. The sugya on Daf Lamed Vav deals with the issue of ripening. It's a separate sugya. Separate sugya, separate tanaim, etc. But it's all assuming that really we have two different types of esrogim, both in the world of color and in the world of size. So in the world of color, there are those esrogim that are going to remain green. In the world of size, you and I are both not aware of pygmy esrogim, but maybe there was such a phenomena at the time of the Amorayim. I don't know. That's the way the Rav wanted to understand the sugya. Otherwise, he could learn the sugya kipshuto, but then we really have a powerful question on Tosfos, yes?
To maybe fine-tune the point, which maybe we'll have time. When we're talking about a min here, we're not talking about, like, we talk about biologically exclusively. We're talking about a halakhic category of min. Meaning, it grows on the same tree. Biologically, they're the same min, they have the same DNA. But one will never turn yellow, and one will turn yellow. So, halakhically, they're a different min. We separate one from the tree, now it's not going to grow anymore. Well, it's not yet reached the tree esrog, so it's not, once you separate that, it's never going to be the min esrog. Because the min we're talking about isn't a biological phenomenon. It's a halakhic phenomenon.
Right. What bothered Chaim, I think, if we could talk about Chaim, third party, is that in the Chinami, that is willing to be ordered to us. But I also spoke about the fact that the Gemara brings in another machlokas. They use the same phrase of Gemara Pri in terms of size. Mm-hmm. And what Chaim says, based on his empirical knowledge of esrogim is that all esrogim will grow larger if they are left on the tree. In other words, when we pick them, it's true that we are nipping it in the bud, and it's not going to grow larger. But if you left on the tree, it would grow larger. So why do we call that, why do we call size a min?
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe halakhically we do, because there's a certain threshold that we have to cross to be in the min of esrog in terms of size. And that esrog has not crossed the finish line. It will never cross the finish line, because we cut it off, not just from the tree, we cut it off from the capacity to be an esrog.
I'm just
microscoping
right now, not with the species of what it could have been.
No, because here when right, this is the lumbish part that I agree. It's not so easy for me either, but I think this is what you have to say. What I'm saying is, as long as the capacity to reach the finish line, it's within the min. But if it doesn't have the capacity to reach the finish line, then it's not in the min. I think that's how you have to learn it.
I'm not thrilled with what the Rebbe says, but certainly from the fact that the sugya of Bosar deals with Gemar Bishule, as opposed to our sugya, which deals with Gemar Pri, Yitachen, we're dealing with two different categories. Okay, Adkan Hakafa Aleph. Hakafa Beis moves over to the back to the Mishnah. Shel Asherah v'shel Ir Hanidachas. So the Gemara points out Shel Asherah Pasul. And the Gemara distinguishes. Before we get to the distinction of what's the uniqueness of Asherah as opposed to Avodah Zarah, Rashi already was bothered. Why, if you are no-till a lulav of Avodah Zarah, you are Yotze? Sof kol sof Avodah Zarah is Asur b'hana'a. And being Yotze, a mitzvah, implies that we have a hana'a. So Rashi says, "If not al kasher, af agav di suri hanaahu, the mitzvos av heinat lehanos nitnu." In other words, that mitzvah, the hanaah of being yotzi a mitzvah, is not defined as a halachic hanaah that relates to the world of yisuri hanaah. Klomar, ein kiyum mitzvos hanaas haguf, ela avodas eved leravo. That Rashi is telling us that we do not, Rashi is telling us that why mitzvah slav ihanos nitnu? Why mitzvah slav ihanos nitnu?
It's just about heaven, just about serving. About, like,
is that there is no hanaah? Right. In other words, a mitzvah is not defined as a hanaah. It's avodas eved le rabo, and the fact that a particular individual may view that as hanaah, that's not halachic hanaah. That we're dealing with in the world of mitzvahs has nothing to do with the world of hanaah. This is as opposed to the Ritva. Let's look for a moment at the Ritva. He has the same conclusion, but with a totally different line of reasoning. Taima de yotza, mishun de mitzvah slav yehanos nitnu, kedi isa bekama duchti l'rava. Va'af al gav de mishani ba'asiyas mitzvos shemekabel schar ba'olam hazeh u ba'olam hava. That even though l'chora there is a tremendous hana'ah objectively, lo choshev isur b'isuri hana'ah, ela kishenehene begufo shel isur. Avokol she'ena hana'ah migufo ela shigorim lo hana'ah v'revach mimakom acher, ena hana'ah min ha'isur. What is the Ritva saying over here? This is not Rashi. This is not that there is no Hana'a, but rather...
It's not considered.
There is a Hana'a, but what's the... Why is this Hana'a not a problem?
Because it's not migufo shel
esar.
Because it's indirect. It's a grumma. Direct Hana'a is that which the Torah asers as Isuri Hana'a. Indirect Hana'a is mutar. And therefore, the hanah of the mitzvah, which is sachar ba'olam hazeh ba'olam haba, that's an indirect hanah. V'chein kederach she'amru benoder hanah mima'ayan she'tovel bo b'yemos ha'gishamim, she'eno nehene beguf hamayim, that there is no direct hanah from the act of tefillah. V'af agav she'goremes lo tefillah zo galos mituma letahara, even though lechora, makes a tremendous difference in his life. In other words, that this woman is now muteret to her husband, that this individual can now go to the Beis HaMikdash, machsharto lekamadvarim, leslanba, it's all indirect. Namely, as opposed to Rashi, who says we have no hana'a, the Ritva says we certainly have hana'a, but indirect hana'a is mutar. This woman is now muteret l'kol ha'olam. She can get married. Ein hanah gedola zo. Right? Tav l'metav tandu l'metav armalo. She was an aguna. And now she's able to get married. Again, we're not talking about sachar b'olam haba. We're talking about the in this world. She now is the happiest woman in the world that she'll do a dance. But that's not considered hanah. It's considered to be indirect hanah. Indirect hanah is not lo chashiva hanah b'isur. Okay? Yes?
Can you just explain why we assume that Rashi is definitely not saying that?
Because otherwise, why would he bring in Avodas Eved L'Rabo? That's totally irrelevant.
It sounds like, I mean, to me, when I hear Rashi, it sounds like, what is the definition? Mitzvahs Lavanos Hindu, Kilomar, Ain't Kyo Mitzvahs Hago.
But
we don't bring the kind of mitzvahs for Hanah that we get.
But there is, according to the Ritva, there is Hanah Haguf. In mitzvahs.
Rashi can be saying that too, but in Hanah, that's not why we do it.
But Rashi is saying, Ein kiyum mitzvos hanoas haguf. According to the Ritva, yesh kiyum b'mitzvos hanoas haguf. It's hanoas haguf for a woman to be able to get married. It's hanoas haguf for a wife to be able to be with her husband. It's hanoas haguf for a person to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Those are hanoas haguf. Not hanoas, in other words, but according to Rashi, all of that has nothing to do with the world of mitzvah.
It would be nafkamina for like matzah, right? Matzah, Rashi Lechora would say, yeah, doing mitzvah, there's no one other. The Rif couldn't say that. There's no growing. He's hungry, he's eating, that's
right. In other words, nafkamina between Rashi and the Ritva would be if we had matzah of Yisuri Hanoa, matzah of Avodah Zarah, right? You take a matzah off of. A Catholic, I don't know, wafer and wine, whatever they would call it. You take a matzah from there, and you would eat it the night of the Seder. Then, according to the Ritva, that would be a direct tana'a, and it would be and would be usher according to Rashi. Ma pitom mitzvos lavei hanos nitnu, even when there would be hana'a saguf, mitzvos lavei hanos nitnu.
I just don't see that in Rashi. I just see that Rashi saying that when we say mitzvah l'anos, it means we don't do mitzvahs for the purpose of l'anos.
He says, "Ein kiyum mitzvos hanoas haguf, ela avodas eved l'rabo."
What's the purpose of a mitzvah? It's not for l'anos, it's for doing what Hashem says. In Hanami, if there is or not, it's not.
So let's sharpen it. Okay, let's sharpen it a little bit. What would be if we were to have a situation in which we would have a hana'a that would accompany the mitzvah, that would not be part and parcel of the mitzvah, but which would accompany the mitzvah. What then would Rashi and the Ritva say? Okay?
Meaning it's totally where the hana'a is coming from?
So here we have a Gemara in the Darim, which speaks about Ha'omer Le'isha, Konei She'ani Mishamshech, that he wants to make a neder that he will not live with his wife. Hareze b'bal yachel devaro. The neder is chal according to the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, v'ha mishtabit la mida oraisa. So of course, how can he make a neder against a chiyuv mida oraisa? He has a chiyuv of ona. Dichsiv she'irak susa v'onasa lo yigra. So the answer is, Ba'omer hanoas tashmisheich olai. He doesn't make a neder that he's not going to be intimate with her. That would be levata lasa mitzvah. He makes a neder that he's not going to be nehene from her. V'ha lo konecholei b'tashmish. Damarav kahana tashmishi alacha. If a woman were to make such a neder, kofin osa umisham shasa. Dishibude mishavedesle. Hanoas tashmishech alai asur ein machilin lola adam davara asur lo. That as long as we don't make the neder to hit head on with the mitzvah, as long as the neder doesn't relate to the act of intimacy, a neder on the act of intimacy, that would be nishba, you know, it's against the previous shibud. There's a shibud. You can't break a shibud with a neder. That itself, as a parenthetical comment, is not so clear. That we could break a shibud with a neder, but the Gemara over here somehow is assuming you can't break a shibud with a neder. But if you don't go head on the shibud, but you speak about the hana'a, that you answer the hana'a of the mitzvah, like you were to say hana'as sukkah asur alai, not sukkah asur alai, hana'as sukkah asur alai, then indirectly you are not able to perform the mitzvah, because that mitzvah is going to give you a hana'a, and that hana'a you forbid upon yourself. And we have a neder on the hana'a, not on the mitzvah. So once we have the neder on the hana'a, the neder is chal. It's not against the mitzvah, it's against the hana'a. But practically, you can't have the mitzvah without the hana'a. So all the Rishonim ask the same question. What happened to mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu? What is this concept over here of the hana'a? The Ran, the Rashba, the Muke Yosef, Ritva, they all ask the same question, and they give different answers. Why does the Mishnah say that Ha'omer Le'isha Koneim Hanoas Tashmishech Alai Hareza Baba Yachel Devaro, that we're stuck? Why are we stuck? Ha'mitzvah Lav Le'hanos Nitnu. V'yeshlomar, L'chi Amrinan Mitzvah Slav Le'hanos Nitnu, as Rashi pointed out, that you are an eved to the Rav, as the Ritva pointed out, because the kiyum hamitzvah is an indirect hana'a. Avo mikol makom, im mishane gufe bahade demekaye mitzvah, hana'a mikre. If we are going to have a hana'a which comes along simultaneous with the mitzvah, that would be a hana'a. That, according to the Rashba, to the Ritva, I'm sorry, is a direct hana'a. According to Rashi, this is not the hana'a of the kiyum mitzvah. This is a hana'a that accompanies the kiyum mitzvah. Umishum hachi amrina perek ruah beisdin hanoder hana'a min hama'ayan tov elbo b'yemos hagishamin, as the Ritva pointed out. But then the Bryce over there, Rashi continues, avolo b'yemos hachama. B'yemos hachama, in which going into this ma'ayan is a tremendously refreshing act. So to be refreshed simultaneous with the mitzvah, forget about the mitzvah. We have a hana'a of the refreshment. And so over here, forget about the mitzvah of ona. We have a hana'a of the act of intimacy. And that would be viewed as a hana'a, both according to Rashi and according to the Ritva, namely we have a hana'a which goes beyond the kiyum mitzvah. A hana'a which goes beyond the kiyum mitzvah, yes?
So just the idea of mitzvah is Zalagos and Nihu, where is that idea found? It's a Gemara somewhere?
It's a Gemara.
And the idea is that what? That it's usher to get hana'a from mitzvahs?
No, that the hana'a of a mitzvah is halachically not called a hana'a when we have a world of isurei hana'a. When we have a world of isurei hana'a, the hana'a of the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana'a. Why is it not a hana'a? Rashi says, because our pure motivation is to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that's all that's basically on the table. According to the Ritva, Barur, that it's a hana'a, even it's a hana'a saguf, but it's an indirect hana'a. It's classically an indirect hana'a. So comes along the Ran and points out, well, if we're going to have an ancillary hana'a that will accompany the mitzvah, that would asur the mitzvah. Then we would have hana'a. Then the isuri hana'a would be meaningful. If a person was mudr hana'a min ha'ma'ayan, he said, I'm not going to go into a jacuzzi, which happens also to be a mikveh, and it's a summer, and the jacuzzi is tremendously refreshing. So then we have a problem, not mitzad the tvila, but mitzad the ma'ayan. We have a hana'a that accompanies the mitzvah.
The
choladeus, both according to Rashi and the Ran.
And the specific nekuda where they argue is that when it's not accompanied, the Rashi would say
when we don't have any ancillary hana'a that accompanies the mitzvah. All we have is the mitzvah itself. So according to the Ritva, it depends if the mitzvah is direct or indirect. according to Rashi, direct, indirect, that's irrelevant. The fact is that the mitzvah is avodas eved. And therefore, by definition, it's not hana.
So let's say the reach of avodah zara. Let's say the smell of avodah zara.
Yes.
So Rashi and the Ritva would agree that it's both aser.
That?
It's aser, the smell.
The, in other words, the that you would have, we have
just
a mitzvah.
Like say a havdalah. I don't know if that's a mitzvah.
You mean to use the besamim of avodah zarah for havdalah?
Yeah.
In which the smell would give you a physical hana'ah.
So that's like this case then, huh?
Excuse me?
Isn't that then like...
No, the case of the tevila, let's just continue a little more, okay? I mean, we'll deal with your issue in just 2 minutes, in Yirtzeh Hashem. Also, although the Ran fits in very, very nicely with the Ritva and Rashi, however, the Rashba and the Ukah Yosef don't go in that direction. They all ask the same question. What happened to the world of Mitzvos Lav Lehanos Nitnu? The Rashba asks, Umiyo akate kashali, afilu gukimton dukimna, omer hanoas kashmishe kolai. I'm not going hitting the mitzvah with my nether head on. I'm asering hanoa ha mitzvahu, the mitzvah's ona, u mitzvah's lovely hanos nitnu. So why should there be a problem in terms of my nether? Al pi halacha, I'm not getting hanoa. Maishna mi muder hanoa mi shofar, de tokea bo tkiya shal mitzvah. V'yeshlomar, so verse says, mitzvah zo eino ela machmasa velo machmaso. It's her mitzvah, it's not his mitzvah. Ona means that that in other words that it's her hanoah, not his hanoah. The cave and damar hanoah tashmishech alai umachmas nidro paka shibudamin. As I pointed out, a neder kimi mafkia the shibud ain't kan mitzvah hamachayavaso. But forget about ona haika mitzvahs pru uruvu. So the answer is, who says he has to mekayim pru uruvu with this wife? He can mekayim pru uruvu with another wife. And therefore, this hanoah is not necessarily linked in with the mitzvah. It's a hanoah that stands on its own. Aye, but what if he makes a neder that he won't have hanoah from any woman? So the mitzvah, so the Rashba is simply paints himself into a corner, and he says, in achinami, that in that situation, the neder would be chal. Namely, that we totally ignore any hana'ah that accompanies a mitzvah. That which we said, according to the Ran, Rashi, and the Ritva, that if we have a hana'ah accompanying a mitzvah, that is going to be problematic. According to the Rashba, the moment that we have a mitzvah in the picture, that allows for all hana'ot. Namely, that we're going to define any hana'ah that one receives during the time that one is doing a mitzvah as a heter.
So the neder is not chal then in that case.
Then the neder would in that situation the neder would not be chal.
Okay.
The neder would not be chal. And so he says that kanerei we have to reinterpret the Gemara in that case to speak about guf not tashmishech etc. Because the hana'ah that accompanies a mitzvah, even hana'as haguf that accompanies a mitzvah is not considered to be a hana'ah.
So why is it also to go to the mikvah during...
Excellent question that all the Achronim ask. Just point out that the Mukah Yosef goes in the same direction as the Rashba, Ivim Tomar, Nihid, the Chayal Nidra, Aldevar Mitzvah, etc. But don't we say mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu? And we have the mitzvah of Ona and the mitzvah of Pru Revu. So he goes in the direction of the Rashba. She can be mekayim the mitzvah with another woman. But if you would say hanoas kol hanoshim alai, then we would be stuck. What about the world of Ma'ayan? It's aser over there b'imos hachama. It's different. Ein mitzvahs tefila b'ma'ayan b'imos hachama k'mitzvahs shofar v'tashmish al mitzvah. Doesn't explain a word why. And then he points out that the Ritva says that there's no question at all, because the moment that we have an ancillary hanoah that accompanies, the moment we have a psikresha, veloyamus, Yesher Dolamasani Gufo, we have a direct Hana'a, and it's similar to the Ma'ayan. And the Nebuchadnezzar says, Tamhani, Hechidam Yechovas, Mitzvahs Tvila B'Ma'ayan B'Masachama, B'Mitzvahs Puru Revu. So what we have over here is a very basic Machlokes Rishonim, where on one side of the equation we have Rashi, we have the Ritva, we have the Ran, who point out that the Hano'as Mitzvah is not defined as Hano'ah. He pointed out that according to Rashi, that's by definition. According to the Ritva, it's because it's a grama, it's indirect. But if we're going to have a Hano'ah Yeshira Bizman HaMitzvah, like the world of Ma'ayan B'Yemos HaChama, or like the world of Tashmish HaMita, then in Achinami, that's a Hanoa Asura. Masha'en came according to the Rashba and the Nebuke Yosef, Mitzvos Lav Lehanos Nitnu. Perush afilu hanoas haguf yeshira bizman hamitzvah lo mugdar kahana umuteres. The mitzvah chav lehanos nitnu is this broad category that allows any hana'ah as long as it is simultaneous with the mitzvah. However, in other words, and that's why Tashmish HaMita is not, is, you know, words would, and that's why in the world of Tashmish HaMita we have a problem of how to learn the Gemara, unless we're going to paint ourselves into a corner. But in the world of Maya, Mimos HaChama, that somehow is different. In other words, the question is, what did the Rashba Nuke Yosef do with Ma'ayan B'Yemos Tvila B'Ma'ayan B'Yemos HaChama? The Brisa says that it is Aser. So that fits beautifully within this world of Rishonim. But according to this world of Rishonim, why? So the Nuke Yosef was bothered by it, and he says, Tvila is different. But why is Tvila different? Why is Tvila different?
Tvila, I can argue that Tvila is different, except then it should be different in the making of Shem also.
So that's not going to help us. That's not going to help us. So over here, I'm aware of three shitos in the Achronim, and I'd like to toss in a fourth option that I think would be better. I put on the page for you the Avne Miluim in Eben HaEzer deals with this issue in Siman Kafchet. He quotes a Shar HaMelech, and then he quotes his own Deya. So he quotes the Shar HaMelech, Hiksha, Ledas HaRashba, Sfiru Le'afilu Hanas Gufo, Bahadei Mitzvah Shari, Imkein Noder Min Hamaya, B'Yemos HaChama, Da'asur Hamaya Asur, Kevan Demut Alihanos Bahadei Mitzvah, Va'ayen Sham, in the Shar HaMelech, Shekosav B'Shem Sefer Rokeach, Shekosav B'Shem HaMe'iri, Umihu yesh perush acher b'mitzvos Rav Yehonos nitnu, the af al pi shebishas kiyam ha-mitzvah ikar hanoas haguf ein bekach klum, that's not an issue, like the Rashba says, ubilvad shelo yehene achar asiyas ha-mitzvah kagon hanoder men ha-mayan da'osar litbol bo b'shas ha-chama neshe achar shenitar nehene achar asiyas ha-mitzvah ulefizeh mutar lesakech b'isurei hanoah. Hamachudoshim ad kan l'shono. In other words, that according to the Shar HaMelech, we're off on a technicality. In Achinami, the refreshment that you receive in the Ma'ayan at the moment of the Tzvila is mutter. However, there's a process. First, you go into the Ma'ayan, then you're tovel, and then you walk out of the Ma'ayan. Going in and going out is also refreshing. That's the Iser. The Iser is the preparatory hana'ah and the hana'ah that succeeds the mitzvah. Were we to be able to localize the hana'ah to the moment of the mitzvah, there would be no problem. But since the hana'ah extends beyond, there's a problem. So therefore, if you were to go into a sukkah that had schach of yisuri hana'ah in the middle of the summer, on sukkahs when it's very, very hot, right? And so you are being refreshed by being in the shade, that refreshment is always going to be simultaneous with the mitzvah. And that would be mutter. That according to the, in other words, that as long as we can limit the refreshment, as long as we can limit the ancillary hana'ah to being simultaneous with the mitzvah, everything is fine. The ma'ayan, we have a technical issue. You can't get in, you can't get out. You know, where it's in a split second, and that's the problem. That's the Shar HaMelech. The Avnei Biluim quotes it and says he has a better answer. Heicha de'ika hana'as gufo b'hadei k'mo b'hai de'tashmishi alayich v'agav mitzvaso anu matirim hana'as gufo u'baze kevan de'efsher la'asos ha'mitzvah b'acher v'adei osir hana'as gufo. Mishum hachi, mishum mitzvah pru revu, eino muter b'hana'as gufo agav mitzvaso kevan de'efsher la'asos mitzvah b'acheres. That the moment that we have two alternatives of how I can be mekayim my mitzvah, and I choose to be mekayim my mitzvah with alternative A, which is aser b'hana'ah, then I am that hana'ah is aser. If I have no alternative, that the hana'ah is mutter. If I have an alternative and I choose to use dafka the isuri hana'ah, that's aser. And therefore, no der min ha-ma'ayan. I don't have to go to a ma'ayan b'imo sachama. I can go into a bor. I can go into some place where I won't be refreshed. And since I choose to go into a place where I will be refreshed, that shows that this hana'ah is of a separate nature. And therefore, in the world of sukkah, if there's another sukkah, you know, in which I would not be as much refreshed, and I choose to go into the sukkah where I'm going to be refreshed, then, right, in other words, if I choose to use the sukkah of Yisuri Hana'ah, so that then there's no heter of the even the Hana'ah, which is simultaneous.
Or it was equal, no?
What? Or equal, right. Okay, those are the two terutzim that are brought down in the Avnei Miluim, one name of the Shamach, one in his own name.
Can you read that into the Rashba?
You could read it into the Rashba, yes. And that's what the Avnei Miluim does. I know I just quoted two lines. If you look at the entire,
it seems to be the most question as to why the Nimugi Yosef says that they're different. Because one case he has no other choice. He makes this nether on himself from all women, so now he has no other option. Whereas the Tefillah case, like who says that he has to go to this place?
There is also a sefer of Shimon Shkup on the Darim, and in his sefer he has a long ma'amar in Siman Yud Beis. And he comes up with a more conceptual distinction. The Shar HaMelech is purely technical, and to a certain degree, the Avnei Miluim is also ukimta. We'll set up two ukimtos. Do you have an alternative? Don't you have an alternative? The direction of the Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkup is that we have two types of behaviors, two types of... Maybe I'll just read to you before I put my words into it.
Is it in the Shari Yosher?
No, it's not in the Shari Yosher. It's in Chidushi Rav Shimon Shkup on the Darim.
Where's
the name of it? It's the same author.
So we were Simon?
Yud Beis. Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. He says, Bir inyan shnei ofanei isurei hana'a ika. Hecha da omed lekach v'have derech hana'asam, az hana'a ba'atzma hainu ha-to'elet v'ha'oneg ba'atzmam have dvar ha'isur, bet hecha da eno omed lekach, az ha-hana'a ba'atzma v'ha-to'elet ha-yotze mize eno davar ha'asur, rak hecha de miskaven l'hana'aso, az ishtamshus to'elet atzmi, zehu goreim ha-isur. Zehu Iser Kali, Bekali Suri Hana'a, etc. According to this approach, Kol Akushios Misugios Hashas all fit in very, very well. Chatovu Ma'ayam Yimos Hachama, Hana'as Hamayim Rizkarer Bishas Hachom, Hu Hana'a She'omed Lekach, Zemamash davar ha'asur gam belo pulata rechitza. Kakasa v'nichse chola, etc., as opposed to tashmish. What, do you have a sense of what he is distinguishing over here? This goes back, that's why he wanted to answer you in terms of the world of reyach. That there is a difference. Let's use Yoni's example. I can smell spices, and I can smell pizza. When I smell spices, I can view that as an act of hana'ah. When I smell pizza, I can view that as a neutral act, with my motivation is to receive hana'ah. That when we have something which is derech hana'ah, or with spices, derech hana'ah, so then my motivation is irrelevant. The act itself is an act of hana'ah. When I'm dealing with an act which basically is neutral, but I want to turn it into an act of hana'ah, then we view what my motivation is or not. Namely that I could speak about a neutral act, and I could speak about an act of hana'ah. Going to a spring in the summer, going to a mayan, the Yemot HaChama, is an act of hana'ah. It's an act of hana'ah. And so, whether my purpose of going there is to chill, or whether the purpose of my going there is to do a mitzvah of tvila, my nafkamina, I'm doing an act of hana'ah. An act of hana'ah, it's the motivation, mitzvah lehanas, it was irrelevant. But if I am doing an act which basically is neutral, we have a mitzvah of ona. It's an act which is neutral. Sometimes I have ona, sometimes I don't have ona. I'm chayav an ona, even if my wife is pregnant, under all circumstances, I'm chayav. So then, if I am miskaving for the mitzvah, then I have a... I can apply mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. If I'm not miskaving for the mitzvah, then I won't view it as mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. The question is, how would you view, let's say, sitting in the shade of a sukkah? Is that a neutral act that happens to bring about hana'ah, or is that an act like, you know, is it more similar to tashmish hamita? Is it more similar to going to a spring b'mos hachama? But the concepts are that's how Rav Shimon Shkop wants to distinguish. Okay, so think about that. And what I just want to put on your table briefly is that yitachen, that the question is not a question, because tevila in a mikveh is very, very different than netilas lulav, tkiyas shofar, and mitzvah of ona, etc. That yitachen, that there's a difference between a mitzvah and a matir. That maybe in the world of mitzvos, in the world of taryag mitzvos, that's where I have the principle of mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. But when I'm dealing with a matir, that's something that will allow me to go to the Beis HaMikdash, something that will allow me to eat kachim, something that will allow a woman to be mutera to her husband, maybe over there, that's not a geder of mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. I'm aware that there is a machlokes whether tefillah bizmana mitzvah or not, but there the phrase mitzvah is of a different nature. Namely, that with that tefillah in a mikvah is basically a matir, like shchita is a matir. Maybe shchita is also a mitzvah, but no one says that tefillah is a mitzvah. In other words, the question is, and then everything falls off, that when I'm doing a matir, so, okay, in other words, I'm doing it for the purpose, in other words, I'm being matir for the purpose of a mitzvah, but that is not going to take away the Iser Hanah, yes?
Except that it made during the Yerushalayim Mitzvah.
Because I get no Hanah.
Ah.
Is there another example?
The two classic matirim are Shchita, in other words, let's say I have a knife of Avodah Zarah. Could I use the knife of Avodah Zarah for Shchita? We say Mitzvah Slav Lehanos Nidnu. Okay? So there, one could say that, in other words, it's a machokas rishonim whether shchita is counted as tarek mitzvos or it's simply a matir. So on the side that it's a matir, yitachin, that In other words, that there, I, you know, if I'm getting hanoah from the act that now I have kosher meat, then that is already considered to be an isar. I can't use a sakana of avodah zarah for that purpose. Masha ein kein, in terms of the world of mitzvos, there we'd say mitzvos lavei hanos nitna. Okay, I'm just putting it on your. I don't recall. I must have seen it somewhere. I can't believe that I thought of that on my own. But I don't recall where I saw it.
But that's what I thought. That's what I thought also. But then I thought that the two words was the Shema.
Okay. Well, we got up to was the world of Tzuse Nesa Shiure. Okay. So what you have over here is Tosfos. Right. We have Stiros back and forth. You know, do we apply Tzuse Mechta Shiure? Don't we apply Tzuse Mechta Shiure? Yotze the mitzvah, you're not Yotze the mitzvah. So Tosis gives one approach to the Stiros. Rabbeinu Tam gives a second approach to the Stiros. What I'd like you to think about is there a third approach? You know, it's not distinguishing between Kodem Bitol, Achar Bitol, Goy, Avodah Zarah B'Goy, Avodah Zarah B'Yisrael. Could there be a third approach? I'm not mistaken, the Kilas Yaakov takes a third approach in the Sugya, but I don't recall, but you can check there. And then the Rambam. The Lechora, the Rambam may be very, very simple, or the Rambam may be tremendously complicated. And so that's also a question, you know, whether you can just read this Rambam as being very simple or not. Okay, so Blina, next time we'll do Ksusei Menta Shiur.